Good morning. There we go. Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace and peace to you. Good to see you all this morning. Please continue to pray for our sick and those recovering from and facing procedures of all kinds, and our travelers, and more as I get old. And am I old, hon? Are we getting old? Later years, whatever you want to say. Prayer is so important. Prayer is such a blessing. We can take everything to God and know that he's listening, he's there, he's helping, and he will respond in the right way that he knows best. Prayer is so essential. The gospel in the church. This lesson is about purpose. It's about purpose. As I was putting this together, and it's Shirley knows I struggle at times about what to preach this coming Sunday. It's probably the most difficult question of my week. What? And I pray about it. Lord, what do you want us to learn today? What do you want us to learn next Sunday? What's the message we all need to hear? And as I was starting to work this up, the word purpose just kept ringing in my head. Purpose, purpose, purpose. We all have a purpose in life. In the family, we have a purpose. And it's a sad thing that so many abdicate their purpose in the family. The husband has a purpose. The wife has a purpose. The parents have a purpose. Even the children have a purpose. And we won't have time to dig into all that today, but the scriptures tell us you each have a purpose in the family to fulfill. If you've worked in a company or been a part of some organization, you know that you had a purpose, or you still have a purpose. If you were hired to do a certain job, that's what they expected you to do, right? You had a purpose to fulfill within that organization. And Mike, I'm going to pick on you today, but Mike used to fix copy machines, all right? That was his purpose. He was a serviceman for them. You know, what if Mike walked into some company office someday and with a bucket of paint and says, I'm here and I'm going to paint your walls a different color? Now, what would they think of him? You know, his purpose wasn't to do that. His purpose was to come and fix their machine. You know, we can take this example far and wide. I thought I would use the example of myself here. Shirley says I should do this more. When I was in the service, if you were in the service, you know, boy, you had a purpose, and you better fulfill that purpose, or you got in trouble, or you got everybody else in your unit or your outfit in trouble. And the plane I flew on, there were four crew members, a pilot, a co-pilot, and then two in the back seat to run the equipment. We had the number three man. He ran the mad gear. I won't try to explain that to you, and the radar. And the number four man, he was the one that listened to the sauna boys, the sound, and he had a readout there that showed the frequency of what he was hearing, if he heard propellers and such and things in the water. So we all had a job to do. We had a purpose when we got on that plane. And again, what if that number four man says, I'm not going to listen to that sauna boy today. I'm going to read my novel. You know, what happens? Well, the whole crew has a problem then. It can't fulfill its mission because this one person says, I'm not going to do what I'm supposed to do. So we all know what we're talking about here. Anyone in any group, in any situation, doesn't fulfill their purpose, the whole group suffers. And in fact, the whole group might even miss the whole purpose for which they have been founded and the whole thing might come apart. Let's go to John 12. Jesus understood this. Just let me ask this question. Do you think Jesus came here for a purpose? Yes, he did. And if he didn't fulfill that purpose, wow, how much would be lost, right? So he understood that. So let's go to John 12. I want to read 27 to 32, and we'll make some remarks, and then we'll really get into the lesson. Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. You know, this is as he was getting near the cross. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Jesus had that main purpose in coming to the earth. Now, he fulfilled several purposes in doing that. You know, he showed us the Father. He gave us some proper interpretation even of the Old Testament and the Law of Moses and tried to set all that straight and other things. But his main purpose was to come and save the human race, wasn't it? To offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross, be raised from the dead, and give us that hope. That was his purpose, and that's what he's talking about here. If I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. He was talking there about the cross. If he failed to do that, if he failed to go to the cross and accomplish that purpose and become that propitiation, then he failed in his purpose for becoming a human being. He may as well not have done it. He may as well not have been here, because that was the primary purpose that he came to accomplish that. This brings us to us, the church, you and me. What is our main purpose? Certainly we're called in Scripture to do many things, and we've done many things here. To live holy lives. And we had a lesson not too long ago about everyday boring Christianity. And we're not throwing that out the window when we preach this lesson, because it's very important what we do on a daily basis to reflect the image of God and to do the will of God in regard to loving one another and being helpful and telling the truth and working hard and all these things. That's all important. But what is our main purpose? What is the main purpose of the church? For that, let's go to Mark. We're going to work our way through a section of scripture here. Early on in Jesus' ministry, as we call it, as he started to preach the word of God, and just see again that he understood he was here for a purpose. Mark 1:29. And immediately after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. Prior to this, Jesus has cast out a demon in the synagogue, and he has started to demonstrate that he has the power of God, and of course to show that he was the Son of God. Now he miraculously heals Peter's mother-in-law of this fever, this ailment, raises her up immediately. So he is demonstrating he has the power of God. And he's using the power of God to do good deeds. He's cast that demon out of that person. And I can't imagine what it would be like to be possessed by a demon. I really can, and I don't know that you can either. That you are controlled by some kind of a spirit within you that causes you to do weird things that you don't want to do. Maybe sometimes we think we got one of those in us that I'm doing that, I don't want to do it, you know. Paul writes about that in Romans chapter 7. But anyway, and sometimes we've been associated with and know some people who are severely addicted to alcohol or drugs. That might be some way to look at that, that they just are totally under the influence and control of that. And they have a just can't get out of it by themselves. Anyway, he's doing good here. He casts out demons. He heals this woman, raises her up, and he's doing good. He's doing a wonderful thing, which he should do. Let's read on. Excuse me. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city gathered at the door. And he healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he was not permitting the demons to speak because they knew who he was. So you see what happened here. The word got out quickly. When people are in need, when people have trouble, and they know that somebody or some organization can handle that trouble and provide that need, they're going to go get it done, right? They want that taken care of, whatever it is, whether it's a physical illness, whether they need food or clothing or whatever, they're going to get that need taken care of. So the word got out. Hey, there's this Jesus guy here, and he's casting out demons, and he healed this woman. He just raised her right up. And so they start gathering, as it says there, the whole city gathered at the door of the house. It's kind of like your local clinic, right? Get in line, take a seat, get a ticket, right? Get your number and wait. Wonder how long the line was. And how many people that was. It's in Capernaum. It was a fairly large city at the time. So all these people here, this is happening. We want to get in on that, you know, whether they maybe brought somebody, their elderly folks, some child that was ill, had a fever, broken leg, something. We want the healing. So these things are everywhere. They've always been everywhere. They're around today. And they knew that Jesus was available to do this. Verse 35. Well, first of all, let's look at 34. And he did take care of them. He healed many who were ill with various diseases and cast out many demons. He did it. So the word is getting out, and he's willing to do this. So 35, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. All right. So he kind of needs to recover from all of this. Physically, that's demanding. We don't know how long that all took, but it may have been quite a few hours if the whole city was assembled at the door. And knowing Jesus, he probably took some time to talk to the folks, see what was wrong. He would have needed some emotional recovery about all the things that he had seen and heard, all the pain, all the leprosy, all the struggle, all the demons that were there, just understanding and knowing that this was the product of sin, and knowing that he had come to deal with that, deal with sin, and free us from these things. It was a preview of life eternal that he was able to heal the sick and cast out the demons. Spiritually, he needed renewed here. So he goes and goes away at night, early morning, probably while it was still dark, to seek out his father to pray. He needed refreshed. And when I was reading this, I immediately thought of the 23rd Psalm. It talks about, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. You and I should never think that we are stronger than our Lord and that we don't need some of these periods of refreshment in our lives to get away, even if it's just for a few hours. Prayer, quiet, a little bit of scripture, reflection, just to be with God. Jesus needed it at this point, and he did what he needed to do. He says, I got to get away from all this for a while. You know, the hustle and bustle of life, you just have to get a little break here and get back closer to God. So he did that. But now let's look at 36 and 37. Simon, that's Peter, and his companions searched for him. You know, he disappeared there in the early morning, and they didn't know where he went. They found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." Obviously, there were more people were starting to line up at the door in the early morning. They wanted healed. They wanted their demon cast out. They wanted their problem resolved. And as we said, there will always be trouble. There will always be problems. They come and go, but that's just the nature of life. And so Simon's saying, you know, where are you? Are you? I'm sure he's saying the people want you. There's more to be healed here. They're looking for you. Verse 38. And he said to them, and this is a very interesting response, but it's the right response, obviously, because the Lord made it. But this is the lesson for us when we're talking about what is our purpose. He said to them, "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby." Okay? Now, is he going to go say, "Let's go somewhere else to the towns nearby," because there are sick people there that need healed? There's people there that have leprosy. There are people there that have migraine headaches. There are people there that have demons they need to be cast out. Is that what he says? That's not what he says, is it? "Let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby so that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. Jesus could have set up a clinic there in Capernaum and stayed for a long time. But he said, "That's not why I came. I didn't come just to heal people. I came to preach the word of God, in particular the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. That's why I came." And I really just wonder if when he left early in the morning and went to pray to his heavenly father, if he didn't pray about that and say, "Lord, help me to stay on track here. You know, I got all these people coming here and they really do need help. And I can help them. I can heal them. But I know that's not why you sent me. You sent me to proclaim this gospel. this good news of the Christ coming to bring forgiveness and life. While we're here, let's just look back in chapter 1 at verses 14 and 15. Now after John, that's John the Baptist, had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's why he came, and that's what he started with. And as we know and see it in other places, the healings, the casting out of demons and all those good deeds that he did, all were to support the fact that he was the Christ who came to bring this life eternal and this new kingdom into existence, to show that he was the Son of God. That's why he did these good things. Not that they weren't helpful and not that they didn't show the love of God, but they supported his claim that he was the Christ. And what I'm telling you is true about this kingdom that's coming and that you can be a part of it. Everything Jesus did, the healing, the demons, the teaching, supported his mission about the gospel and the kingdom of God. So this brings us back to our question. What is the main purpose of the church? Well, you recall the scriptures there at the end of the Gospels in Mark chapter 16. Jesus tells the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, right? In Matthew, he says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. That's our main purpose. Are we called to do good deeds? Yes, we are. And, you know, Jesus illustrated that. And we see that taught in many of the letters by Paul and by Peter, to do good, to help those in need, to provide food and clothing and shelter if they need it, maybe medicine, to take care of orphans, to take care of the elderly, to take care of the widows, prisoners, disaster relief, you know, name it. We could go on and on and on. And in fact, the church should be outdoing all the other groups that do good. And if we reflect on that, we realize that because of the influence of Christ, because of the influence of the gospel, of the word of God, especially in Western civilization, shall we say, especially in the United States, there are a lot of groups that do good, don't they? In fact, our government has so many government agencies that do good, that provide, you know, food, clothing, shelter in times of need, disaster relief. There are nonprofit organizations. They take care of orphans. They take care of the elderly. They do all kinds of good things, and we should be very, very thankful for them. The church does these kinds of things too, kind of working together with all of this good to relieve human suffering, as they often call it, all these problems that we have in life to get by. But we need to understand this. Only the church has the gospel to give to people. Your local government agency doesn't share the gospel with anybody. This nonprofit up here who has a food bank, they don't share the gospel with anybody. That's not their job. all these other organizations, they just take care of the physical body. They do not take care of the spiritual. Only the church has the gospel. And we can't forget that. We are the ones who should be joyful in sharing that gospel with people, because nobody else is going to do it. Nobody else will do it. Nobody else can do it. Nobody else has been given the mandate from Jesus to do it. Only us. Only the church. Let's look briefly here at these last three scriptures. Galatians 2:14. And see the what the gospel provides. That other words, messages don't. You know, we hear somebody's having a problem, the flood right now, you know. We're here for you. We'll help you recover. Oh, that's good. I want to hear that. But that's as far as it goes. Galatians 2:14. But when I saw they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I'm not going to read the rest of it. Paul here is contending with Cephas or Peter about his actions. The truth of the gospel. The gospel gives us the truth about life, about what's happening. We're talking about in our Bible class this morning, from the very beginning, God's purposes and plans and why he even created this whole place to begin with. To demonstrate his love, to send his son. You know, we're just part of this whole situation and saga that God has developed from the very beginning with these principalities and powers that we don't know what they are. This is the truth. All of this is the truth about God. There is a God. Christ Jesus is his son. He did come. He died. He was resurrected. We need him to save us from eternal damnation. And life eternal awaits those who serve him. This is the truth of the gospel. Nobody else has that for anybody. And we've been given that responsibility, that purpose to share it. And to share it with love and joy. Ephesians 1:13. In him, meaning in Christ, you also, after listening to the message of truth, there's that word again, the gospel of your salvation. There it is. We do need saved. We need saved from the grip of Satan. We need saved from a terrible eternal destiny. We need saved from continuing to follow our sins and let the sins destroy our lives. We need saved in order to glorify God. On and on we could go. But the gospel brings the salvation that we need, that every man and woman needs. Every human being needs that salvation, and God wants them to have it. Scripture says, you know, that he wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. All men, everywhere. Now, as we talked before in that other lesson, you know, that doesn't mean we have to go to some other continent with the gospel. Well, I know right now, and even in this country, there are so many people that they just turned their heads away from God altogether. They don't even understand what the gospel is. They don't understand about Jesus. There's a lot of work to do and opportunity right here in our backyards, in our own families. On over to Colossians 1. Verse 23, if indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and which I, Paul, was made a minister. There's the wonderful word, the hope of the gospel. The people need hope today. Yes, I think that's an understatement. They need hope. They need to know there is a God. Yeah, sometimes we wish he would show himself, like we're talking in Bible class, But he has showed himself in Jesus Christ. He's shown us what to do. He's given us a future. He's telling us to be strong in the faith, follow me, and the reward will be great. The reward will be wonderful. I won't leave you here. I'll bless you. I'll help you through it. I'll give you good times. But there will be rough times as well. The hope of the gospel of your salvation, the truth of the gospel. What is the purpose of the church? To share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is our main purpose. There's a lot of other things we can do. But as we go about doing good, whether it's as a congregation, you know, Lord willing, here in June, we're going to have our booth set up at the Loop Festival. Whether it's something that I'm doing on my own and with someone in the neighborhood or whatever, or you're doing in your family, in your neighborhood, or where you work, talking to somebody, we need to always have in mind the gospel. That this person needs hope. This person needs to hear the word of God. This person needs to hear why I believe in this gospel, why I believe in Jesus, and why I live the life that I do. So as you go about, let us remember to do good, to help, to serve, to give, but especially to give that word of hope of the gospel of Christ. God bless you.